The reputation of Edward III could be said to have gone full cycle, really, from 1377, when he died, to the present day, because when he died, people looked back on his reign as a great golden age. They looked back on his major achievements from the time of his great ascendancy in the 1340s and the 1350s, and kind of proclaimed him really as the greatest king that England had ever had. And that reputation really survived all the way through into the 15th and 16th centuries. It was Edward III whom the successful kings of the late Middle Ages, Henry V, Edward IV, Henry VIII, all wanted to emulate. He became a role model of successful kingship. In the early modern period, and then particularly from the 19th century, questions began to be asked as to whether the kind of political system that Edward III had operated was either kind of morally justified or indeed politically sustainable. A system built on foreign war, on the idea of the expanding state of a sort of ruthless expansionism into other realms and lesser territories. People began to question whether that was really a responsible way for monarchs to behave. And they began to look at the cost of all of that in human and material terms, and to question, in fact, whether Edward III, whether in Edward III there was a kind of basic incompatibility between the ambitions of kingship and the ability of the Kingdom of England actually to realise those things. So by the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th centuries, Edward III's reputation had dropped really quite low, and he was not regarded as a great statesman. He was not even regarded as a great military strategist, in fact. It's only since the end of the Second World War, I think, that his reputation has risen again, and that owes itself very largely to the fact that today we evaluate the achievements of medieval kings not by the moral principles or the perspective of our own society, but by those of their own time. It would be unfair on any medieval king to try to judge them according to criteria that they themselves knew nothing of. So when we go back and we look at the kind of range of choices that faced Edward in the 14th century and the opportunities that arose and were seized upon, what we can say is that he inherited a throne that was weak, that was much damaged morally and materially by the appalling rule of his father, the misrule of his father, Edward II, and that he rebuilt both the practical power and the moral authority of the English monarchy over the 30 or 40 years of his successful period of rule down to the 1360s. By the time you move into the 1360s, which is really the high point of Edward's reign, his own subjects were proclaiming him the greatest king of all the world. And people from all the known parts of the then world were making for the English court as though it was the very centre of action, the very kind of epitome of world power and world influence. So we can see how the little land of England really had expanded in terms of its ambition, its reach and its influence into a world power. And that, I think, is Edward III's major achievement.